Hey, we'll get started. The Chidush HaRashba that will start with is at the end of Dibra Maskil Hokamashmalon, and he disagrees with Rashi about the Gemara's Kasha here at the beginning of Brachas.
Is there a difference between the Rashba and the Tosfos?
The Rashba's a little bit more, you know, he's clearer. He says the following. He says, "Hakamashmal and dekani emas achli b'truma mishas seisa kochavim. We may delo achli truma ad seisa kochavim v'kadarashta uba shemesh bias orol shenistalik orol legamrei mechalol shel olam tahainu sof hashkia. Umay v'tar tar yoma shenitar yom legamrei min hashemesh." Dilma bi Hashimshahu klomar tchilas hashkia sheba Hashemesh bi ovio shel rakia bilvad afal pishen yitzias hakochavim ad liacha mikan kishir arvas milin umay vitoy tor gavra klomar shetoval deherival of Shemesh. So according to the Rashba, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth about the time for achilas Truma for Kohenim. And the issue is whether or not it depends on the Zman of Histalkus Ha'or Legamre, or does it depend upon Shkia Sacham? In the Maskona, it depends upon Siluk Ha'or. So that means it's not enough that the sun sets, that's not enough of a time period to be Matir to permit the Kohenim to eat Truma, we have to wait until Sila Ka'ar. But there is a strong Havamina here that Shkia Sachama should be sufficient. Now the Maskana Sasugi, according to the Rashba, is that Laila, as far as Achilas Truma is concerned, depends upon Sila Ka'ar. And this would seem to be the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam as well. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Laila continues way past Shkia Sachama for a period of time of three and a quarter mil.
Laila,
I'm saying.
Three and a quarter.
In other words, what we're saying is that when it's Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's not Laila. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, as long as there's Or, as long as there's light, it's considered Yom and not light. In that sense, Rabbeinu Tam is supported by the Maskana of the Rashba. And the Halacha, that you have to wait until Sila Ka'ar, until it's Laila, is very much in line with Rabbeinu Tam.
But it would seem that when we all... see three stars and we make Abdullah and they're still waiting in Beinu Tam, it would seem that it's definitely dark, no light anymore. So why do we feel waiting for Beinu Tam in Israel?
Rabbeinu Tam would say that as long as there still are, it's Yom.
But no,
there is on the there's like, a Western Rosh and there's Or.
What do you mean there's no Or? If
as far as I can see, when we make Abdullah, it's night.
Hmm.
But he's defining it not in terms of his time to walk something. Independent of the time of the year, he's got his 4 milim.
So you're asking maybe it should depend on different parts of the of the world.
Yeah.
Good point.
He's got an absolute
very good
time point.
So again, let's just summarize what we know so far, and then we'll see if we can flesh it out. Again, according to the Rashba, I'm just going to summarize what I have written down in my notes. The Gemara is vacillating back and forth. When is Laila and when is Yom? is Laila initiated by Shkia Sachama, and that's the Havamina of the Gemara, or Sila Ka'ar Michalolo Shel Olam, that's the Rashba's language. And the final conclusion is that Laila is dependent upon Sila Ka'ar, which is Tseisa Kochav. That's the Maskana Sasugi. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Tchila Sashkia is still considered Yom, and we wait until a time of 3 1/4 meal. And until that point, it's Vada Yom. Now, when do we get to the Safek? That's the last 3/4 of a meal, because that, says Rabbeinu Tam, we're not sure if it's dark enough to be considered Laila, or is it still a little bit light out, and therefore it's Yom. So that's called Bein Hashmashos. The Ravid that we mentioned once before would also seem to reflect the Shita. The Ravid says at the beginning of Psachim, in his Hasog on the Rif, that as long as there's Ar, that's how he interprets Arli Arbasar, it's really still daylight, it's still day, it's still Yom, because it's still Ar, and it only becomes Laila after it gets dark. The Pasuk that would support this Shita of the Maskonas HaRashba, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ravid in Psachim would be V'lachoshech kara life. In other words, the Torah differentiates between Ar and Choshech, and that distinction is a distinction between Yom and Laila. So again, Laila means Silaka Ar, Yom means the still Ar. Then we have the Shita of the Gaon. The Gaon's Shita is that immediately after Shkia Sachama, we begin a period of Bein Hashmashos. In other words, according to the Gra, this period of Bein Hashmashos will continue from Shkia until Gimel Rivei Mil, and then it's already Vaday Laila, even though there's still light on the horizon. In other words, according to the Shita of the Gaon, really what determines Yom and Laila is like the Hava meaning the Gemara according to the Rashba, namely what?
Shkia.
So his pasuk would be not V'lachosha kara Laila, but Es Hama'or HaGadolim Shel Sayom, that the Ar, the Mishel Sayom depends upon the Ma'or HaGadol. The Ma'or HaGadol is what? Is the sun, is the Chama. And therefore, according to the Shita Sagon, the Kovea of Laila is really Shkia. Then what we have to discuss is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Gaon, what is Bein Hashmashos? Because Bishleim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I understand the Bein Hashmashos is that period of time where it's beginning to get dark, it's not totally dark, and we don't know what that status is. According to the Gaon, if indeed Laila is initiated by what? By Shkia, then that itself should be Vaday Laila. What is Bein Hashmashos? Let's mention the Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah in Megillah says that from Alos HaShachar, it's already considered Yom. That Mishnah would seem to support Rabbeinu Tam, because since at the point of Alos HaShachar there's already light out, even though the sun has not yet risen, that should be enough to engender Yom. Because R is Yom, Choshek is Laila, there's still R, that already is Yom. The Gaon apparently, which again I don't know how to deal with this right now, is going to distinguish somehow between Yom and Laila. Meaning, if you're talking about Laila, Laila depends upon Shkia Sachama. If you're talking about Yom, Yom depends upon R. So somehow the Gaon is able to operate with two different definitions, one for Laila and one for Yom. That has to be studied very carefully. Okay. Now what I'd like to study with you is a sugya in Masechta Shabbos. And this is on Daf Lamed Daled. So let's just open up to the sugya on Daf Lamed Daled and see, Lamed Daled on base, see what we can get. It's the fourth line down from the top of Lamed Daled on the base. Tana Rabbanon. The Brisa establishes that Bein HaShmoshos has three different stodim to it. Sufik min hayom u'min halayla. So the first suffix is that it might be min hayom u'min halayla. We'll have to see what that means. In other words, it has both yom and laila. The second possibility is suffix kulo min hayom, suffix kulo min halayla. So now the Gemara has the possibility of being machmir in one situation because of the suffix. Is lefichach, the Brisa says, matilin oso le chomer, shnei yomim. Now what does this mean, shnei yomim? That we'll see as we go along. Then the Brisa continues and says, v'yezu ben hashmoshos, mishetishka achama, kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim. Okay, and then the Gemara, the Brisa quotes a machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Some of these details, again, need very, very careful study. But what I'd like to see here is a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbi Natan. And the Gemara says the following. Omar Mar, Matilin Oso Lechomer Shnei Yomim. Okay, we have to be machmir in this in Bein HaShmoshos and consider as if it's min hayom u'min halayla. L'may hilchus, what halacha do you have in mind that we consider it l'chum? Omer Rav Huna bereder of Yeshua le'inyan tuma kidisnan. And here we're looking at a Mishnah in the first parak of Masecht Zavim, referring to a zav. He's rosh ne'yomin b'bein hashmoshos. He saw a re'iyah on two consecutive Bein HaShmoshos. Is what's the din? Safek l'tuma u'l'karba. So let's just review some of the dinim of a zav. A zav, if he sees two re'iyos on one day, or one re'iyah on one day and the next re'iyah on the next day without any day in between, then he's tamei tumazav, which means that he has to wait zayin nikiyim, and then after he's metayer himself, he's tar, he doesn't have to bring a karma. If he sees two re'iyos on, let's say, Sunday and Tuesday, in other words, with a hefsek of Monday in the middle, then he's what's called a tful yom, and he's called a balkeri. He needs to just simply go to mikveh and then wait till harif shemesh. If on the other hand he sees 3 days consecutively, okay, so then he's a zav with a chiyuv karba. So what's the case, and what are the sfeikas? Ra yom echad bein hashmoshos is safek l'tuma. So Rashi explains. So wait, let's just read a little bit further in the Gemara. Ha gufa kasha amrit ezu bein hashmoshos yitishka chama kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim. Okay, you know, that part of the Gemara we don't need. Fine. So what does it mean, safek l'tuma? So Rashi goes through all the different stadim here, and Rashi comes to the following conclusion, that there's a safek l'tuma means there's a tzad to say that he's tahar. How could it be tahar? So Rashi says the first re'iyah was bein hashmoshos, and that's safek min hayom. Correct? So if it's minayom, then that Bein HaShmoshos belongs to the previous day. Rashi says that the second re'iyah, which was just a day later, 24 hours later, might be minalayla. And if it's minalayla, then it belongs to the third day. Which means that he's tar because there was one day in between in which he had no re'iyah. That's how Rashi constructs the safek that he might be tahor. On the other hand, he might be tamei. How is he tamei? If let's say we would assume that the first Bein HaShemashos belongs to Lila, and the second Bein HaShemashos belongs to Yom, correct? Then he had two Re'iyas on one day. And then Rashi says there's a third possibility that he might even be Chayv HaKarma. Why? Because maybe the first Re'iyah spans 2 days. It spans both Yom, the previous day, and Lila. In which case, if you apply the same yardstick to the second Re'iyah, then if the second Re'iyah might belong to Lila, then it already crosses into the third day, and then he had three Re'iyahs on three different days. So Tosa says the following. Again, we're not going to read through Rashi now, but that's more or less the sum of Rashi. Pirish Bekuntris says Tosus, the Shema Bein Hashmashos Rishon is Kulo Minayom. So the first Bein Hashmashos belongs to the day. The Shema, I'm sorry, Visheni, and the second Bein Hashmashos, a day later, is Kulo Minalayla. Says Tosus Velo Nira. The I Rishon Kulo Minayom is Sheni Nami Kulo Minayom. That means if the Sheni is Minayom, then he basically, let's go over this. If the Sheni, if the Rishon is Minayom, so that belongs to the previous day, and then the Sheni is Minayom, so then he saw 2 days consecutively. And if that be the case, if you're going to be consistent about it, then he's definitely Tomei. Visu, and Tosesk another kasha, the Omar likamon bishmaitin, ha osem alacha bishnei bein hashmashos, chayev chatos, mimonefshach. Now, the logic of the Gemara is the following. If he does work, he does malach on Shabbos, on both the bein hashmashos entering into the Shabbos and the bein hashmashos leaving the Shabbos, so then mimonefshach, he violated the Shabbos. If you would assume that the first Bein HaShemashos belongs to Yom, then you have to be consistent, and the second Bein HaShemashos belongs to Yom, so he violated the Shabbos. If on the other hand, the first Bein HaShemashos belongs to Lila, then he violated the Shabbos in the first Malach. Ulepiyash HaKutshis, but according to Rashi's logic, why is he Chayev HaChatos? Ha'ika LeMeimar, Shema Bein HaShemashos, the Erev Shabbos, Kulo Yom? He didn't violate Shabbos, belongs to Friday. And what about the Bein HaShemashos of Motzi Shabbos? His Kula Laila belongs to Sunday, I guess you'd call it. V'lo Yischayv Chatos. Again, he might be in violation, so let him bring what's called an Hashem Tolu, an Hashem Shabbal HaSafet. So these are the two questions that Tosus asks on Rashi. Now, Tosus Lishitaso, if we take Rabbeinu Tam and we assume that Bein HaShemashos is Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, which means that since the Torah says that Or is Yom and Choshech is Laila, and I have this period of time in which it begins to get dark, but it's not yet fully dark, correct? Which according to Rabbeinu Tam spans a pretty long period of time. So then, what we have is a mimonafshach, meaning if you're going to tell me that Bein HaShemashos belongs to either day or night, then you have to be consistent about it. In other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have a question of mitzius, you have a question of the reality. What is the reality? So take your choice, take your pick. Is Bein HaShemashos dark enough to be considered Laila, or is it not dark enough and therefore it's considered Yom? Again, we're talking about a case of a Re'iyah which spans the entire period of Bein HaShemashos. So what is that period of Bein HaShemashos? We don't know what it is. We're not sure if it's dark enough to be Laila, or it's still not dark enough and therefore it belongs to Yom. So that Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion, therefore, that if you're going to decide that Bein HaShemashos belongs to Laila, right? So then you're ready into the new day. Then the next Bein HaShemashos should also belong to Lila, and then he had two Re'iyahs on two consecutive days. So how can you ever come up with a situation where he's tar in two consecutive Bein HaShemashos? And Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam is a perfect proof from the Gemara of Malacha. Then again, if we want to be consistent, you decide whether Ben Ishmashis is Yom or Ben Ishmashis is Lila. But between the two, we definitely know that he violated Shabbos. So what is the answer for Rashi? Again, it's not an easy question. And Rabbeinu Tam, based on this, is convinced that Rashi doesn't work. So perhaps we can say the following. And we touched on it in the past, but I want to see if we can flesh it out a little bit more. That Rashi Shita in Ben Ashmashos is that there are two definitions of Yom V'Laila. One definition of Yom V'Laila is V'Lachoshech Karo Laila. In other words, the definition of Yom and Laila depends on R and Choshech. But on the other hand, there's another definition of Yom V'Laila. And that is Hama'or HaGadol of Emshel Sayom, which means that we identify Yom as the time of Zricha and Laila as the time past Shkia. Both definitions of Yom and Laila are valid because the Torah accepts both of them. But what do you do in a case like this where the Torah is operating with two alternative definitions of Yom and Laila? So Rashi holds that if both definitions of Yom and Laila are correct, what you end up with is a suffix. Not a suffix because we don't know what the reality is. We don't know if the Metzius, this is Laila, it's Choshech, it's not Laila, it's not. But we simply have two valid definitions of what's Yom and what's Laila. We cannot reject either of them, so therefore we have to accept both of them, and what we're left with is a suffix. But again, the word suffix here has to be taken under advisement. It's not the suffix in the way, the classical understanding, the way we associate the word suffix with, I don't know what it is. I know exactly what it is, but it's both A and not A at the same time. It's a suffix of Tarti Desasri. For example, this is the Ravid Shita at the beginning of Hilchas Shofar regarding an androgynous. An androgynous has both Simoni Zachrus and Simoni Nakvus. So the Rambam says that an androgynous can be Motzi Esmino in Shofar. One androgynous can blow the shofar for another androgynous. And the Ravid says no. That an androgynous cannot be motzi afilu esmino. And the Ravid explains. The Rambam understood that androgynous is not a zachar, not a nekeva, but rather it's a min bifnei atzmo. He calls it a birya. It's a new entity. No, whatever that entity is, if you have two androgynouses, right? Androgynesis, right? So one can be motzi the other because they're both equal. They're both identical in terms of the halachic status. The Ravid says, no, that's not what an androgynous is. Androgynous is not a new birya. Androgynous is a zohar and an akeva. In other words, insofar as the androgynous has simone nakvus, the androgynous is a nekeva. But at the same time, the androgynous has Simoni Zachrus, and therefore it's a Zachar. In other words, the Ravid says that an androgynous is really a contradiction in terms. It's both a Zachar and a Nekeva at the same time. So what does the halacha do in such a case? We have a problem. Says the Ravid, if the androgynous blows the shofar, so the Tzad Zachrus of the androgynous can be Motzi, you or I, right? Another Zachar. Because the Tzad Zachrus is Chayev in the mitzvah of Shofar. But on the other hand, the Tzad Nakvus is also blowing the Shofar. And insofar as this individual is a Nekeva, it or she cannot blow the Shofar on the part to be Motzi a Zachar. Again, you and I might say, well, let the Tzad Zachrus blow the shofar. But the Ravid holds, no. The shofar is being blown by both the Tzad Zachrus and the Tzad Nakvus. Now, this individual is in a keva. In fact, according to the Ravid, it could very well be that godless for an androgynous would be established at the age of 12. Why? Because insofar as the androgynous is a vade nekeva, because of the simoni nakvus, so she becomes a gedola at the age of 12. I mean, it's going to be very interesting if you had an androgynous who was born to a kohen. Now the law is that a zocher, a kohen zocher, is not allowed to be mitami lemeisim, and if he goes into a cemetery, he's chayiv malchus for that. But that doesn't apply to an akeva. So according to the Ravid, for sure an androgynous who's a kohen could not go into a beis akvaros. But the interesting thing would be if, let's say, this androgynous is 12 years old. So as far as the Tzad Zachris is concerned, he's not a gadol. So if he goes into Beis HaKfaris, he's not Chayev. Elo what? He's got a Tzad Nachvus, but an Akeva is not enjoined from going into a Beis HaKfaris. So Pashas would be that if this androgynous is 12 years old, then there would be no Iser in going into the Beis HaKfaris. But it's really more complicated than that. I'll tell you why. Because according to the Ravid, the law is that if someone is mitame a kohen, then that person is chayav for that, even if the kohen is still a katan. In other words, let's say this is a beis hakfaras, and I take a kohen who's 12 years old and push him into the beis hakfaras. That itself is a violation of a law of Tumas Kohen. Meaning, although the 12-year-old himself is not chayav for Tumas, we're getting off a little on tangent. I'll get right back on in a second. My mind started wandering. But although the 12-year-old himself is not chayav, that's because a katan is potter. But a katan cannot. So the Torah says lahazir hagdolim al ktanim. Right? It says, what does it say in the pasuk there? And more of Yamarita, right? Lahazir Agdolim Alaktanim. So this androgynous, insofar as she's a Gdola at the age of 12, if the androgynous now goes into the Beis HaKvaros, then the Tzad Nakvus should be Chayev for violating Tumas Kohanim by being Mitami the Kotan. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. Anyway, just think about that, you know. What? It gets a little bit complicated.
Is the Ravid saying that it's like Rambam, it's a berry?
No, it's not a berry.
It's a suffix whether he's a Zohar
right.
or a
Keva. But the suffix is not because we don't know, but the suffix is because it is both a Zohar and a Keva at the same time. It's not that we don't know. If we didn't know, then at least the Ravid would allow Mitzat Sufik, and there's no one else to blow the shofar. Blow the shofar. The Rambam is not operating. The Ravid is not operating with Dine Sfakis. The Ravid is saying that because this birya, which is not a birya, but I mean to say this creature is a vade nekeva, therefore the shofar is completely meaningless. That even for another
androgynous. If you have both, then it's a birya from the Pifnei Atzmah to begin with.
No,
it's like the Rambam.
No, but that's what I'm telling you. But according to the Rambam, since it's a birya, so one androgynous can blow the shofar for another androgynous. According to the Ravid, since she's in a keva, she can't blow the shofar on behalf of another androgynous.
But the definition of the person himself, if he has Zachrus and Nakvus together,
right.
That's not a normal human being. That's a birya bifnei atzmah. That's a unique
okay,
creature.
If you're using the word birya as
a creature.
No, I'm saying, if you're using the word birya just to convey a message, you know, of what we're talking about, just for Neely the Alma, so to speak, then you could use the word birya. I would rather avoid the word birya, because birya in our context, in terms of androgynous, is a halachic concept. It's not just a description. So I would say maybe instead of using the word birya, if you're talking about the Ravid, we'll call it the person. We'll call it the individual or the person. So the individual, according to the Ravid, is a vade nekeva and a vade zocher. Good. I'll give you another question here. This would be very interesting. It's the evening after the seventh day of Sukkot, right? We're about to go into Shmini Atzeres, and it's Bein Hashmashos. And the question is, am I obligated to take a lulav? So Rabbosai, before you even begin to analyze this question, what should be the answer? I'm not chayiv. Why not? Safek derabbanan lekula. Right, the only mitzvah of luv midaraisa is only when on the first day. On the seventh day, like all the other 6 days, the balance, it's only derabbanan. So you have a safek of bein hashmashos. It's like, according to Rabbeinu Tam, since you don't know whether it's yom because it's still light out, or it's laila because it's already getting pretty dark, then in a case of a safek derabbanan, what's the deal? Safek derabbanan lekula. But it's very interesting that many Rishonim hold that in such a case, we don't apply the principle of Safik Derabbanan Lekula. And they bring a raya from a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos says that there are many Shvusim Derabbanan that are prohibited even in Bein HaShmashos. Right? The Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin. Actually, I could look it up, the Mishnah for you here. If somebody wants to do that for me, just to open up the Mishnah about Mehmet Likim, I think the Mishnah gives a whole list of cases. Should be right on the Amud Aleph for the same daf, right? Oh, it says, Ein ma'asrin es avadai, for example. Or, Ein ma'advilin es akelim. Ein ma'advilin es akelim. Right, these are all derabbanans. So why are these derabbanans asr in Bein HaShmashos? According to Rabbeinu Tam, that Bein HaShmashos is a suffix, then suffix derabbanan lekula. And the Rishonim in Sukkah, on Daf Yud, quote this Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin to prove that what? Do you have the Mishnah there? Bamei Madlikin. Yeah, look at this whole list over here. Okay, there are some doraisas here. Let's say, for example, Ein Madlikin Es Hanera. Okay, that's a doraisa because of Melechus Havar. But all the others, like Hafrashis Meisters, those are all derabbanans. There's no Melech in Hafrashis Meisters. Narvas, it's a Safek because it's Bein HaShmashos. Why not apply the principle of Safek Derabbanan Lekula? But also, again, if there's anything I want you to walk out of today's discussion with, is this question in your mind. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that Bein HaShmashos is simply a suffix. It's a suffix b'mitzius. Why do we find that in derabbanans, in the case of Isurim derabbanan, mitzvahs derabbanan, with regard to Bein HaShmashos, we're machmir? Why should we be machmir? That's a question that I want you to work out. Oh, but now, let's go with Rashi Shita. Rashi Shita holds that what? What is Bein HaShmashos? We're operating with two definitions of Yom Valayla. So Bein HaShmashos from one definition is called Yom, right? And from another definition it's called Laila. It's like the Androgynous case that has both Zachrus and Nakvus, according to the Ravid. Is both this individual, I'll use that term, is both a Vade Nekeva and a Vade Zachar at the same time. So when do we apply the principle of Safek Derabbanan Lekula? When it makes sense to say, well, I don't know what it is, right? So therefore, I'll tip the scale in favor of Lekula. Right? So I can say that I should be Mekil. And therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I have a right to say, on the seventh day, going into the eighth day, it's already Lila, right? Maybe it is already Lila. And therefore, I have a right to say, I'm not Chayv in the midst of Lula. So we don't understand why the Rishonim say that you should still take the loop. But if you go, like Rashi Shita, that both definitions of Yom and Laila are correct, then the halacha of Safek Derabbanan Lekula, which means I tip the scale Lekula and I make a certain assumption, that mechanics doesn't apply since it's Vada Yom. In other words, the Vada Yom jumps at me, stares me in the face and jumps out at me and says, you can't be Machria and say it's Laila. You want to assume it's Laila? Okay, that could be good for Rabbeinu Tam, but it can't be good for Rashi. Because according to Rashi, how do you have the right to assume it's Laila when it's Yom? In other words, according to the definition of Or and Choshech, it's still considered Yom. If it's still considered Yom, it's the seventh day of Sukkot, I'm Chayev. b'drabanan al kolponim in the midst of netilas lulav. And by the same token, if I'm going into Shabbos and I want to be mafresh maisrus, I can't do so because from the perspective of Shkias HaChama, of Hama'or HaGadol, it's already Lila, it's already Shabbos, how could I be Mafresh Maisris? Meaning, I have no right to be Machria, Safik, Lekula, against the Vada. Hachros Fekis are feasible and are logical when you can be Machria the Safik. It means you have a right to tip the scale and assume X. But here you can't assume X, because there's Y that contradicts it. Now, the question is this dual definition of Yom V'Laila in the framework of Rashi going to answer Tosis's kash? Rashi says that if the Zav sees two Re'ios on two consecutive Bein HaShmoshos, there's a tzad to say that he's tar. So in other words, Rashi is saying the following, that within the context of Bein HaShmoshos, I have the right to say that Bein HaShmoshos is Vaday Yom, and at the same time, I have the right to say that Bein HaShmoshos is Vaday Laila. If that be the case, then we have a situation where there's a hefsek in the Ritzifus of the Gimel Yomim. Because if the first Bein HaShmoshos is Vaday Yom, it belongs to the day before. If the second Bein HaShmoshos is Vaday Laila, so what are you going to tell me? But you're operating with two contradictory definitions of Yom V'Laila. Mean, that's not an issue. Because the Torah itself endorses both definitions of Yom V'Laila. If the Torah itself says it's Vaday Yom and it's Vaday Laila, then the first Re'iyah is a Vaday Yom and the second Re'iyah is a Vaday Laila. So Rabbi Tam stands up and he objects and he says, but you have to be consistent. You don't have to be consistent. If your suffix is a suffix b'mitzius, then you have to be consistent, because either it's Yom or it's Laila. You know, you had a Re'iyah that spans the entire Bein HaShmoshos, you can see the Yom HaLaila. But if the Suffolk is not a Suffolk, but rather both definitions operate simultaneously, and they're both true, is then I have the right to say that one Re'iyah, insofar as Bein HaShmoshos is Vaday Yom, belongs to day one, the second Bein HaShmoshos Ria, which insofar as the Halacha recognized that as Vaday Laila, is on day three, enters into the third day, and therefore it's a Vaday Tom.
But why do you have the right to ignore the Vaday Laila of the first day and the Vaday Yom of the second? I understand why you get to pick the other one, because it's true, it is Vaday Yom for the first one, Vaday Laila of the second. It's also Vaday Laila of the first and Vaday Yom of the second. Where do you
I'm not ignoring it. I'm just calculating all the different studied, but insofar as there's halacha Vaday Yom in Bein HaShmoshos, there's halacha of Vaday Laila in Bein HaShmoshos, then one of my studied is going to be that there's no Ritzifus.
Because I would say, based on what you said, that you're arguing, I would say that there's only one possibility here, that he had a Riyah for three seconds consecutive days. Because it's a Vaday Yom the first day, and a Vaday Laila the first day, Vaday Yom the second, Vaday Laila. So it's definitely 3 days.
Correct.
There's no possible way of less. It has to be three, not less.
Because
of the Vaday.
No, I'm saying that since I can operate with each Vaday, right? I can operate within each Vaday. Like, for example, the Ravid is going to say in Androgynous, again, I'm just using it as a metaphor, that she is a Nekeva, because there is halacha in Androgynous of Vaday Nekeva, right? So at that point, when I enter into the Vaday Nekeva mode, then she's not a Zachar at all, and she can't be Motzi someone else with Shofar. Meaning, once the Torah recognizes one particular definition as valid, that validation allows me to operate with that definition to the exclusion of any other definition. And I can do that in every Bein HaShmoshos. So again, what I can do is, I can say that this Zav is tar, meaning when I say tar, he's not really tar. I mean, you say he's tar from Tuma Ziva, and he's only a Valkari, correct? And at the same time, I can say that he's a Zav because of two consecutive Rias on two consecutive days. At the same time, I can say that he is Chai of a Karban because he's a Zav Gadol because he has three Rias on 3 days. And in each case, when I come up with that Tzad, I'm applying a particular definition of Bein HaShmoshos, which could either be Vaday Yom, Could be Vade Laila, or could be Vade Yom and Vade Laila. But the Torah is validating all three.
Where does the Torah give the right to validate one to the exclusion of the others?
Because again, what I'm saying, Daniel, is that when the Torah says that this definition of Yom is correct, I view that as an independent entity. The Torah is allowing me to stand. Again, I don't know if in, you know, I know you're a lawyer, but in legal terms, I don't think there is such a thing. You know, I don't know. Chas Shalom, I'm not a bucky in law. I mean, I took a couple of courses in graduate school in constitutional law, but that's the extent of my knowledge of law. You know, saying I had a wonderful professor of law in graduate school. But what I would say is that the halacha and this is the way, and I guess we have to get used to this, but when the halacha validates, recognizes a certain vadai halacha, it says that you can operate within the context of that vadai halacha. It's been validated. And at that point, you will derive all the conclusions and all the ramifications without even taking into consideration the antithetical vadai. That's what vadai means.
I don't remember.
Well, I like that word, yeah.
But in certain circumstances, you use the Yom Valayla model, and in other circumstances, you use the Shemesh model. So you have to choose one or the other. You can't. In different circumstances, you choose one. In other circumstances, in terms of knowing the halacha, you choose the other. So here, why are you not doing
well, Michael? I can't turn back the clock because I don't know what we said in that session. But what I would say is the following, Michael: that if you're dealing with Doraisas versus the Rabbanans, then you might be absolutely correct. You know, the Rabbanan might have carte blanche to decide which definition of Yom Valayla. But if you're dealing with one specific definition, for example, if you're dealing with Tumah Ziva, and now we're dealing with the Doraisa, then you don't have the opportunity to operate, at least in Rabbeinu Tam's frame of reference, with two different definitions simultaneously. But truth be told, that I think that's exactly where Rashi would disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam. And Rashi's chiddush here is, and maybe from Rashi's perspective, Rabbeinu Tam is the odd man out. Rashi feels he's saying what really is pshat, is that when the Gemara offers a suffix here, and suffix tuma according to Rashi means that there's a tzantar, a tzantara here, Rashi's saying it's a tzantara because I can operate with Bein HaShmoshes as a double definition. Even though those two definitions are mutually exclusive, the Torah has recognized both A and not A at the same time. But Rabosai, what about the second kash of Rabbeinu Tam? Right, Rabbeinu Tam says, okay, he has the Gemara here on Lamed Dalet, and I don't have it open now. And the Gemara says that if he violates Shabbos Bein HaShmoshos going into Shabbos, and then he violates Shabbos Bein HaShmoshos going out of Shabbos, he has to bring a Korban Chatos. And why? Miman of Shach. No matter what it is. Ribono Shel Olam, what kind of Miman of Shach is? Why don't I apply the same yardstick of Rashi that I applied to Tumah Ziva to the case of Shabbos and say that the first Bein HaShmoshos, insofar as it's Vaday Yom, belongs to Friday. The second Bein HaShmoshos, insofar as it's Vaday Laila, belongs to Motzi Shabbos. And therefore, I'm not chayev. Again, Yechiel, I'm not excluding the other possibilities. He'll bring a Karbon Asham Tolhui Shavah Safek. But he can't bring a Karbon Chatos. Oh, yeah, what do you say?
In Shabbos, we talk about one Shabbos, but the Re'ez got two Re'ez.
Excellent. In Re'ez, each Re'ez is a separate entity. And therefore, I can deal with the status of each Re'ez and the Bein HaShmoshes independently. But I can't do that in the case of Shabbos. Shabbos is a 24-hour period. Exactly when it begins and when it ends, well, that you can have two different definitions, because Rashi validates both definitions of Yom Valayla. But With regard to Shabbos, the fact that Shabbos is one continuum, it's one indivisible entity, it's a cheft of Kedushas Hayom, and the day is sanctified, then within that 24-hour period, you certainly violated the Shabbos. There's no issue, there's no question, it's a chatas. Because again, when I look at the two Bein HaShemashoses, you know, whichever two definitions you want to operate with, you definitely violate the Shabbos. In Re'ios, I have a right to say that this Re'ios Vadayom, the second Re'ios Vadaylaila, and there's no Retzifus. But in Shabbos, I can't take the Shabbos and smash it into two pieces. And therefore, Rabosai, it's not a stira. The Rambam actually paskins that in the case of Tumah, in Ziva, when he had two Bein HaShemashoses, the Rambam says the Sofik Tara, Sofik Tameh. When the Rambam gets to the case of someone who violated the Shabbos b'knisasu v'yitziyasu in Bein HaShemashoses, the Rambam says he brings the karma chatas. So all of the Farshim asks the Kasha, how can the Rambam solve for himself? The answer is, the Rambam holds like Rashi. And if the Rambam holds like Rashi, whenever I have an ability to deal with each Bein HaShemashoses independently, then I can come up with different scenarios, and one is Vaday Laila, one is Vaday Yom. But when I deal with Shabbos, which is one indivisible entity, then I know he violated the Shabbos. He certainly violated the Shabbos. That's Betoras Vaday he violated the Shabbos. Because the Shabbos is that 24-hour period of time. Rabosai, I would like to see, together with you, if this understanding of Rashi could somehow help us with regard to Kriyat Shema. Because after all, at some point or another, we've got to come back to where we started. So I photocopied for you an article here that I'd love to see you work on it. I'm working on it. It's a lot of work. It's called Otzer HaYunim. Did you get a copy of it? No, who needs a copy? I have a few copies left. This is from the old days when the photocopy machine was still working. So you can give that out. I have the original, so I don't need the copies. And he has here a wonderful chakira in the name of the Oneg Yontif. The Oneg Yontif lived about 2 centuries ago. And after presenting in the first paragraph the psukim, Chazal say that b'shal b'chav kumecha, the Gemara on Yudam and Beis, b'shal sh'bnei adam shokfin, b'shal sh'bnei adam omdim. So he quotes the Oneg Yontif. He adds here something interesting, that the Gemara Daf Tesam and Beis says that when the people wake up, they wake up at a moment which is called Mishayakir. And when do they finally continue? You know, there are many other people in the world who don't get up that early, but they get up a little bit later. So the latest group of people is the Bnei Malach, and they get up at the end of 3 hours. Says the Oneg Yontif, what is the definition of Zman as far as Kriyat Shema? Is it A or is it B? A is Yom and Laila. Means we have to define what's Yom and what's Laila. That's one definition. And the second possible definition is that no, Kriyat Shema does not depend upon Yom or Laila. Stated in Pasuk, nowhere in the Pasuk does it say Yom or Laila. But rather, Geder Zman Uzman Shchivu Zman Kiva Shebeshavuchav Kumecha Kovea Zman Mitzvah V'lo Lefi Yom V'Laila. And when I think about this chakira, even before I go into all the massive amount of bekiyus here, which is very impressive, I think in terms of Rashi Shita, which is the Pashup Shatnam Mishnah. Naimasai Koran Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis. Mishosh HaKonim Nuknos Lechem B'Truv Rashi identifies that as what? As Tesako Chavim. And we racked our brains to figure out, according to Rashi, and Rashi himself racked his brains, how we can daven in the Beis HaKnesses Arvis. And the answer is we're going to have to somehow be Yotzei Kriyat Shema after Tseis, which Kriyat Shema. Is the Rashi identifies the obligation of U'Bishol B'Chav Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis with Laila? Our universal definition, we'll call it, of Laila. On the other hand, when you turn to Daf Beis Amid Beis, and you have Tanoim who speak about the Aniyim who come in, they don't have candles, so they already start retiring a little bit earlier. And other groups will see different Tanoim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yeshua. All of a sudden, you know, we have new definitions. Talk about Rabbeinu Tam, for example, at the beginning of Brachas, and he says, you know what? It's already Zman Tfilas Arvis, and at that point we can already be Yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and the Re-Entosis, and so forth and so on. So, it sounds that there's a tension and a lot of controversy here, and maybe it's all about this Chakira of the Onig Yontif. What is the determining factor of Zman Kriyat Shema? Is it Yom V'Laila, or... We don't talk about standard classical definitions of Yom V'Laila, but rather B'Shav B'cha U'V'Kumecha. And the very fact that the Gemara wonders what is B'Kumecha, and the Gemara is willing to take the day and divide it into so many different parts. You have Mishayakir, and then you have Anetzachama, and then you have Sholosh Shos. I mean, the Gemara is playing with so many different options about what B'Kumecha means. And when is therefore the latest time for Kriyas Shel Shacharis? If we apply the same yardstick to B'Shav B'cha, and we might talk about different definitions, a sliding, almost, I don't know what to call it, a relative definition of B'Shav B'cha. Some people go to sleep earlier, some people go to sleep later. Or if you talk about B'Shav B'cha, it means Kol Zman Shem Shochvin, Rashi on Daf Gimel. So you say some people stay, you know, they stay late, and they this and that. And then, What you also get into this whole thing, and this he quotes on the second side of your page. No, I'm sorry. He quotes it here on the first side of the page. Yeah. The Heira on the Farshim. You have that? It's the next to last paragraph on the first side of your page. He says, let's open up to the Ches Amid Beis. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai tells us that, you know what? You can be Yotzei the midst of Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis after Alos HaShachar because people are still sleeping. It's very fascinating because from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's perspective, okay, Rav Gamliel disagrees, but according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the classical definition of Yom as formulated by the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah Daf Chaf, namely Amud HaShachar Light, is no longer pressing, it's no longer reigning supreme, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, with regard to Kriyat Shema. Which would, we say in Yiddish, Lonsach Tzogin, you know, it attracts us to say, to draw the conclusion, that at least Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is not operating within the framework of Yom V'Laila. He's not constricted by a definition of Yom, where the Yom is initiated by Ar, by Alos HaShachar. We already said that even the Gaon might agree that at least as far as Yom is concerned, Yom is dependent or initiated by R. And yet, I can be Yotzei Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. Look, if you hold the Kriyat Shema as the Rabbanon, like Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel or Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that's a whole different story. The Rabbanan can decide, you know, it's all, you know, the whole thing is a mishmash. Hey Mamru, hey Mamru. The ganze business is the Rabbanan. So they decided, Nebuch, the guy fell asleep, he woke up, it's Amud HaShachar. Yeah, give him another option. You know, let him, there's still people sleeping, let him read Kriyat Shema. Good. But if you assume that Kriyat Shema is Doraisa, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the way we paskin, then how are you going to justify the fact that it's Yom, and he's reading, he's being Yotze, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, unless you introduce a new definition, which is not your classical standard definition of Yom V'Laila, but since the pasuk doesn't say Yom V'Laila, let's operate with a definition that's unique, that's original, I like something original, namely B'Shav B'cha U'V'Kumecha. And then we turn to the second page. And here we have a Magen Avraham that, I don't know, I've been thinking about this Magen Avraham here for a good couple of days. The Magen Avraham quotes a Sefer, which I'm not familiar with. I think it must be a Rishon because he's really, the Magen Avraham himself is a pretty early Achron, called Hagos Min Hagin. Do you have it? It's in that paragraph that starts B'Yisod. So the Hagos of Minhagim has a very, very strange case. Whenever you see a strange case, you know there's got to be lumbus. The Gerus took place after Amud HaShachar on the day of Purim. Okay, so you're in that period of time before HaNeitzachah. So if we apply the yardstick of Rav Shimon bar Yochai that we saw in Brachos Daf Ches Amud Beis in Kriyat Shema to the case of the Ger, so first of all, I would say, tell the Ger immediately, without blinking, to recite Kriyat Shema. Shir Shal Aris, I'm sorry, yeah. Secondly, what should be the next thing on his agenda? Let him read the Megillah, because it's a mitzvah Megillah, not only by Yom, but also by Laila. Although I have to admit that in the Mishnah we see Kriyat Shema, we see Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom, but Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says Chayv L'Kros of HaLaila on Megillah Daf Dalet. The Turi Eben, by the way, is of the opinion that that was the Takana of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, that the Mishnah didn't even recognize that thing, that back in the day of the Mishnah they only read the Megillah once on Purim. Says that goes to Minhagim. He's Potter Mikriyas HaMegillah Shalaila. All he needs is one Kriyas HaMegillah. Well, she needs, because she's also Chayavis in Kriyas HaMegillah, right? He has no difference. Why? So he gives a lumbus. Hagos HaMegillah. I'm not familiar with the Sefer. If somebody could research, tell me who it is, I'd be thankful. He says, Lefishe Ikar Mitzvah Sabayom. It's a Naya Svara. Something we never heard of. That when we have to deal with this ger and figure out what mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah he's obligated in, we're going to operate within the context of a principle called Ikar Mitzvah Sabayom. What does that mean, Ikar Mitzvah Sabayom? And the Magen Avraham sees in this Hagos Minhagim that we're talking about a very rare case with a mechanics that's very unique. And therefore, if forget about our ger, let's talk about a Jew who, he went to sleep, wakes up on the morning of Purim. Again, I deliberately call it the morning of Purim because it's already after Amud HaShachar. And we don't have this unique, singular case of a ger, but we're talking about every single Jew. Says the Magen Avraham, he would have to read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus. He says, Hochiach HaMagen Avraham, the second paragraph. Okay, we should really go. I have the Magen Avraham on my desk. Okay, but we'll just for logistical sake. He says, Shayamakam L'chayev B'Megillah. What was the Hagos Minhagim vacillating about? Why did he think that he should be Chayev B'Megillah Shel Laila? Shua Dayan Laila. V'nafkimina, Shem Adam Hayimachuyu B'Tchilas HaLaila, a normal case of a person who's Jewish at the beginning of Purim, B'Tchilas HaLaila, Lohispik Likros Ad Liachar Amud HaShachar, is Rashoy. Again, the word Rashoy is a little bit strange here, but he wants to know whether you should make a bracha, and a bracha could only be recited if you have a bona fide mitzvah. He says, Rashoy Likros Bracha Kedei L'Karim Chovas HaLaila. And the Magen Avraham says that the exception to this rule is the case of the ger. With regard to the ger, if we treat him with very, you know, sensitive glove, you know, we put on a very, what do they call the, what?
Kids gloves.
Kids or kids?
Kids
with a D. Kids gloves. And we have to say to him, you know what? Ikar mitzvasa bayom. And therefore, you're alleviated from the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah b'Laila. But for a normal person who began with the chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah b'Laila, I mean, that's how he entered into Purim, then for sure he's going to have to read, even according to Hagos Minhagim, Kriyas HaMegillah Shel Laila at that period of time, which is called Amud HaShachar. And the Magen Avraham strengthens this by quoting, by invoking Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Kamo B'Kriyat Shema.
It's going to be a shock.
Dr. Kasha is, what is the man hawking about here? The whole thing makes no sense. You're talking about Reb Shimon bar Yochai and Kriyas Shema. I mean, maybe there's a Gzeir Shava Kriya here, but Kriya Shema, the Pasuk says, B'shog Macha. But in Kol Dini HaTorah, for all Mrs. HaTorah, day begins It's Amud HaShachar. So again, I'm not trying to poo-poo the diuk, you know, in terms of how to upgalern the Nagos Minhagim. He's right. He's really saying Pshat Nagos Minhagim. Nagos Minhagim came up with this really weird case with a new super svarav that came from left field to exempt this ger from the mitzvah kriyas Hamigilah b'Laila. But for you and I, because we already entered into Laila with the chiyuv of kriyas Hamigilah shel Laila, our obligation should take us, says the Rogan Avram, straight through, even till Hanetzach Hama and kriyas Hamigilah b'Laila. I understand the diuk. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But at the end of the day, the question begs itself, how could the Magen Avraham equate it to Kriyat Shema? The analogy is totally off base. Kriyat Shema is the exception to the rule. What we're going to see here, and I beg of you to go through all the sources, it's a fascinating presentation with a tremendous amount of scholarship here, that all the sources of Rishonim Achronim are saying that if there's a new definition, which again, Rashi would not accept this, but if there's a new definition of Zmanei Kriyat Shema, that's only because of the Pasuk B'Shalvachav Kumecha. That has no implication on all other mitzvahs. And therefore, to accept the analogy between Kriyat Shema and Kriyas HaMegillah, unless Kriyas HaMegillah is also, I don't know, Kabbalah Salmach Shemayim, I'm just joking with you because that's ridiculous. So why should Kriyas HaMegillah have a pasuk of B'Shavachav Kumecha? And I'll tell you the truth, he says something which make, again, Lufianius Daiti makes no sense. In the paragraph he says, Umizbayer, he says the following, Shagos minhagim sover, Sha'af kriyat shema, Tluya bedin yom v'layla. That Agos vanhagos is of the opinion that kriyat shema depends upon yom v'layla. Umashin ischarish tizman shchiva hua koveya, Hainush is a koveya shenekshav l'layla. Okay, good. But that doesn't solve your problem. He's trying to tell me that because the Torah says in Kriyat Shema B'Shalvacha, is that tells me that there's a new Chiddush here, and the Koveya of Kriyat Shema Shel Laila is B'Shalvacha, and that B'Shalvacha continues even past Amud HaShachar, but that doesn't set a universal standard for all other mitzvahs, which depend upon Yom V'Laila. So Bishlam in Kriyat Shema, this halacha of B'Shalvacha, and that redefines Laila. But what impact does that have on Megillah? Megillah doesn't have that new factor that redefines Laila and tells me that Laila is defined by B'Shalvacha. So how do we justify the conclusion of the Agos Minhagim that if he hasn't read Kriyas HaMegillah Shel Laila, he could read it past Amud HaShachar, which is Yom, and fulfill his mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah Shel Laila, even with a bracha? Where's B'Shalvacha over here? So, Rabosa, I just want to throw out an idea here, and with this we'll conclude our discussion for today, that perhaps what we're saying here in Kriyat Shema, according to Agos Minhagim, is that we have a new type of a suffix. Not your classical suffix of B'mitzius. Like if you remember Rabbeinu Tam's definition of Bein HaShvashos. Is it dark enough? Is it not? No. We're talking about a suffix that's engendered by two definitions, both are mutually exclusive, and both are valid. Meaning, when it comes to Zman Kriyat Shema, we have two different operating definitions. One is Yom V'Laila, and one is B'Shalvacha V'Kumecha. And they're both correct. And we're going to have to work out in every single case which one of the two definitions of Zman Kriyat Shema operates supreme and determines the halacha. Comes along that goes Minhagim, and he says that when I apply those two definitions to the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, and the question is to what extent is he willing to expand these two definitions, and why does he entertain those two definitions, he comes to the following conclusion, that if I was included in the chiyuv from the get-go, then I can extend my definition of Laila into and beyond Amud HaShachar based on the definition of Laila that applies to Kriyat Shema. Because in Kriyat Shema we were willing, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, to apply the definition of Laila that would include post Amud HaShachar based on U'Bishal Becha. It means that on the one hand, we accept the definition of Laila, that's correct, and from that perspective, Kriyat Shema is gone, it's now time for Kriyat Shema Shel Yom, and on the other hand, from the perspective of Bishal Becha, we still have a Zman of Kriyat Shema Shel Laila, of Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. In fact, I would suggest the following pretty radical conclusion, that perhaps a person could read Kriyat Shema twice between Amud HaShachar and Hanetzach Chama, and be Yotze in that period of time both Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis and Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis from the perspective of the definition of Laila of Bishal Becha, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris from the definition of Kriyat Shema of Yom, namely that Netzach Chama, Hanetzach Chama engenders Yom. Says the Magen Avraham, when you flesh this out, these two definitions of Yom V'Laila or Zmanei Chiyuv with regard to Kriyas HaMegillah, you come to the following conclusion. With regard to a ger who's trying to pick up a chiyuv, he doesn't have a chiyuv, he doesn't come with his knapsack, with his baggage, now you want to establish a new chiyuv upon him of Kriyas HaMegillah, so there's a halacha of Kriyas HaYom Adif. The primary chiyuv is what? Is Yom. In other words, he enters into a day called Purim. He came into Purim halfway through the day. And the question is, which chiyuv should we impose upon the shoulders of this ger? And the answer is going to be the standards of Yom V'Laila. And since he entered into Knesset Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael, during the period of time post Amud HaShachar, which means that now in the universal definition of mitzvahs, it is Yom, we're going to impose upon him the Iker Chiyuv. But if a person enters into the period of Purim with, meaning incumbent upon him, accepting upon himself the chiyuv of Laila, now says that goes Umin Hagim, we can stretch our arm to Kriyat Shema, which again we have to figure out why, but we can operate with the definition of Laila that's engendered by Kriyat Shema based on the Pasuk U'Bishal Becha, which allows me to extend Laila even another piece further past Amud HaShachar. So again, just to start the discussion, we'll see if we can polish it up. All right, Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here. I'll take this opportunity again to wish everyone a Freilich and Chanukah, as I did on Monday, but then it was before Chanukah. Now it's Bo Bayom. You know, it's already...
What do you want to
keep the
Shiro?
Oh yeah, I know where to put it back. Yeah, what do you want to say?
It's a Purim Torah.
Oh, I like Purim Torah. Yeah, it's a little early, but
based on the Nahapa.
It's Reason Magdimim, yeah. Yeah, what do you...
It's the Nahapa. You have a lot of your sister.
Oh, Vanapa. Thank you.